Eugene residents are fortunate to get their water from the clean, cool McKinsey River. But the city could lose that access in the event of a major disaster. The threat of climate change has also created challenges. KLCC's Rachel McDonald reports on how people are trying to make the McKinsey River more resilient.
The McKinsey River snakes its way west from its source in the Cascade Mountains. The volcanic rock in the Cascades captures and filters rain and snowmelt underground for years before the water bubbles up out of a network of springs at Clear Lake. Here at Hayden Bridge in East Springfield, Eugene Water and Electric Board takes in water from the river. Carl Morgenstern is EWEB's water quality supervisor.
And we draw basically right out of the river. The intake we rebuilt a few years ago, so now we have pipe that goes along the bottom that's perforated with fish greens on it, and we just suck it off the bottom now.
Morgenstern says the McKinsey River's water is known for its purity, but there are sensors here and at other locations along the river to detect impurities. One of those is cyanotoxin. It's only in recent years that EWEB has found algal blooms, which can contain the toxins in its reservoirs upstream. A technician is taking water samples with a jar on the end of a stick.
Try to get at least 6 inches below the surface.
Morgenstern says they'll take the sample back to the lab.
Because then we can see actually cyanobacteria under the microscope, and we can confirm that, yeah, it's there or not.
Cyanobacteria was to blame last year when Salem's tap water was under an advisory for several weeks. Morgenstern says he increased sampling after the discovery of algal blooms. They're thought to grow in warmer water, likely caused by climate change. That's what Morgenstern says is the biggest threat to the McKinsey.
The things that we see impact us from climate change is, one, lower flows, more drought-like conditions, longer summers, and then more flooding in the winter, where you have more rain coming down over a short period of time, less snowpack, and the other is wildfires.
Morgenstern says he's working with the Forest Service and Oregon State University to study how last summer's Terwilliger fire affected the McKinsey. Most of the watershed is forest owned by the U.S. Forest Service or private timber. About 5% is agricultural land, and about 1% is privately owned. EWEB works with property owners along the river to restore riparian areas and floodplains.
And having a healthy floodplain not only helps you with drought, because there's more sponge there soaking up water, but during floods it helps knock down flood velocities, reduce damages, and so it's kind of a win-win.
Carol and John Sullivan have a hazelnut orchard near Vida. Their 70-acre property is along the McKinsey River.
The tree was just covered in ivy. Every single tree, really.
Carol Sullivan shows me where crews have removed invasive plants by the river.
Blackberries galore. Just blackberries. You couldn't walk into this. I mean, they were just blackberries. And scotch broom.
Sullivan joined what's called the Pure Water Partners program about 4 years ago. The coalition includes EWEB, McKinsey Watershed Council, and others with the goal to maintain clean drinking water. It pays participating property owners and businesses.
And then came in and planted the indigenous trees, the maple, the Oregon grape, and a list of probably 7 or 8 more.
Sullivan says her grandparents bought this property in the 1920s. She'd like her grandchildren to live here.
We don't feel like we own the land or the river because we're not that great, but we certainly want to be good stewards, and it's wonderful.
The McKinsey Watershed Council's Jared Waybright says securing large pieces of land from development is key to the river's resiliency.
In a lot of ways, the best bang for the buck in terms of restoration and conservation is acquiring those undeveloped floodplain pieces and holding them in perpetuity and managing them for their conservation values.
This is being done through collaboration between public agencies and nonprofits like McKinsey River Trust and the Nature Conservancy. EWEB is seeking secondary water sources in case an earthquake causes significant structural damage and cuts off water to Eugene residents. EWEB's Joe Harwood says that's why they've installed wells at Prairie Mountain School and Howard Elementary.
And the idea is to build 3 or 4 more of those well sites that are geographically spread out. So if we do have an issue like a Cascadia subduction zone quake, folks can still get water.
Harwood says the wells are part of EWEB's resiliency initiative. And they've formed a partnership with Springfield Utility Board to explore ways to collaborate on secondary water sources on the Willamette. For Carl Morgenstern, when it comes to the Mackenzie's long-term resiliency, he's most afraid of the unknown. With a changing climate, he says, there could be extreme events like floods and wildfires on a scale we've never seen.
We are trying to create resiliency in our system so we can bounce back, but not knowing actually what these extreme events might be in 10, 20 years is really hard to fathom.
Still, Morgenstern is hopeful the work he and others are doing to secure the river's health and long-term resiliency will make a difference. Rachel McDonald, KLCC News, near Hayden Bridge in Springfield.
Funding for KLCC's Science, Policy, and the Public, Resilience, and Oregon's Natural Resources series comes from the University of Oregon Wayne Moore Center for Law and Politics. A note to listeners, eWeb is a KLCC underwriter and had no editorial input in this story.